a whole new dimension on automobiles.
I own an automotive shop in here. I had a car tested with the emissions before I tried it, and I was, was putting out like over 1,000 parts per million of just hydrocarbon. And I changed the oil and put in one liquid ring, and 200 miles later, the engine was only putting out about half that amount of hydrocarbon.
For more information on liquid ring or to place your order, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Liquid Ring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Pastor David Whitney, and we're going to be talking about the American Constitution, which is really the very, very foundation of our society. Of course, we talk about the Declaration, we talk about the Constitution, we talk about the Bill of Rights and the amendments to the Constitution, but it is only an understanding of these documents that really separates us from the rest of the world. Why is America unique? Why? Because we were formed as a nation with a limited central government. Liberty and limited government were synonymous. But what people have missed is there has always been an effort to establish a dictatorship in America. There have always been those who believe that they had a divine right to rule. There are those people today, and they are in total working control of our government, and they work through organizations like the Trilateral Commission, set up by David Rockefeller, who told a friend of mine, who told me, that David Rockefeller had said, you know, some men are born to rule. Most men are born to be ruled. And that's what it's really all about. Got the Constitution. Removed from the reality of the average American a knowledge of what it is, of the laws of our land, and the tyrants can do whatever they wish. And they are dedicated not to America, but the destruction of America. That's why they're destroying our economy. That's why they're transferring our jobs and certainly our manufacturing overseas. That's why they plan to destroy the value of our money and impoverish the American people. And as it says in the Earth Charter, equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. They know what they're doing. The only reason they're able to get away with it and violate our laws, because these people are the domestic tyrants, are the domestic enemies that we that you swear to oppose whenever you take a government job or run for government office. And when I ran for Congress, I had to swear I would defend America from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the domestic enemies are working within our educational system. They're working within our foundations. They're working within our corporations, yes, even within our churches, within our government, and, well, that is the background. Understanding that we cannot oppose the enemy unless we understand the foundations of our freedom and reclaim them. Pastor David Whitney at the Institute of the Constitution. David, so good to have you with us again.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me on your show. And like you say, it's absolutely essential that Americans understand these principles and apply them, because there's no self-enforcing mechanism in the Constitution. Those who take an oath to uphold the Constitution, you know, they're not going to police themselves, generally speaking. We, the people, have to police those whom we elect to office to be sure that they do uphold the terms of the Constitution, which means, of course, we, the people, need to know the Constitution to do our duty as citizens and to protect our freedoms. As you say, our freedoms are really being stripped away day by day by those who want one world tyranny, that are going to submit us to that one world tyranny. And unless we rise up and resist it and oppose it, we are going to be slaves of the new world order. But the first thing to do is educate ourselves, because unless we know the terms of our Constitution, basically the terms of our contract with our civil government, we can't possibly enforce those terms of that contract. So that's why we at Institute on the Constitution are dedicated to spreading this message far and wide, raising up a grassroots army of people who, understanding the Constitution, either enforce it by forcing their elected officials to abide by the terms of the Constitution, or replacing those elected officials and appointed officials with those who will uphold and abide by the terms of our Constitution.
And because that's all that's really important. I mean, if we look to the government to provide for us, then the government's got to be able to control us. Any government that can provide whatever we need must be able to take whatever we can, whatever we have. And a government that can provide for the people from the cradle to the grave must be able to control the people from the cradle to the grave. And when they talk about, oh, how we're concerned about children, oh, we've got to provide health care for children, where in the Constitution does that, you know, provide it for? And, you know, were children dying from lack of medical care before we had the federal government looking after them? Were people starving in our streets before the federal government intervened and created the problems that face us today? Of course not. Here in a free society, free people were able to look after themselves and after one another. Today, people increasingly impoverished and indebted have a hard time even looking after themselves. And all of our problems come not from our society. They come from the interference of government in the affairs of men, which was never intended. But you pick up the story, David.
Well, we have been looking at the terms of this Constitution, examining Article 1, which deals with the legislative branch, Article 2, the executive branch, and we just finished last month looking at Article 3, the judicial branch. It's really easy to remember how the Constitution is outlined. Article 1, Article 1, the legislative, Article 2, the executive, Article 3, the judiciary. And by the way, those are in order of importance in the minds of our founders. When they framed the Constitution, they put the legislative branch first because they decided that it would be the most powerful branch of government. It was directly accountable to the people on the lowest level in the House of Representatives and so on, and they gave the most powers to Congress. And so it's important to remember that what we have today, where the executive branch is doing all sorts of things unconstitutionally, unchecked in its abuse of that power, and judiciary is doing those things as well, they can only get away with those abuses of their office, both the executive and the judicial. They can only get away with the abuses of those offices because the legislative branch refuses to hold them accountable to the oath of office both the executive branch takes and the judicial branch takes. So we have a system where our elected representatives in the House of Representatives and in Senate are not doing their job in holding the other branches of government accountable. And usually when there's a problem, they cry and say, oh, there's nothing we can really do about it. You know, a judge has ruled or the president has said, and that's that. But that's a lie. And if we know the terms of this Constitution, we'll know that lie and we'll repudiate it and either replace the person or force the person in office to conform to the terms of our contract with our civil government. Well, when we come to, and let me just give you a brief outline of the rest of the Constitution, Articles 6, or 4, 5, 6, and 7, relations among the states, admission of new states, our form of government, and we'll talk about the rest after the break.
We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
Here at the American Freedom Network, our guest is Pastor David Whitley of the Institute of the Constitution. David, pick up the story.
I just wanted to give a brief overview of where we're going with the rest of the articles. Article 4 deals with relations among the states, privileges and immunities and that sort of thing, admissions of new states, and that each state must have a Republican form of government. Article 5 deals with the amendment process, how the Constitution could be changed if the problem arises or if some new development that was unforeseen, how it is to be amended. Article 6 deals with a number of issues, debts, supremacy clause, which when we get to it, that's one of the most important clauses in the Constitution. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It also talks about the oath of office, which again is a religious oath taken to Almighty God, the God of the Bible. And then finally, Article 7 deals with the ratification, number of states required to ratify it. So let's start back at Article 4, which deals with the relations among the states. And Section 1 of Article 4 talks about what's the full faith and credit between the states. That is, with very few exceptions, each state must recognize as valid and give judicial enforcement to the legal enactments of another state. Well, for example, let's consider the subject of marriage. If a divorce or a marriage is recognized as valid in the state of Nevada, it must be recognized as valid in all the other states. And or how about talking about an estate situation where a will is executed, say, in North Dakota, and the person actually is in Mississippi when they die instead of North Dakota, but the will is still valid in Mississippi even though it was executed under the laws of North Dakota. So that's the general principle, that each state must give full faith and credit to the laws of other states and citizens of those other states. Now, there are some exceptions, and those exceptions are important to understand. That is, in situations where a legal enactment in one state is manifestly against the public policy of another state. Most recent example we have, of course, is the state of Massachusetts saying that two people of the same sex may marry one another, and that's a legally valid marriage in Massachusetts. Well, that's not necessarily, therefore, a legally valid marriage in all the other 49 states, because that position of taking an anti-Christian, anti-God position that says marriage is something other than what God defines it as, to do that, all the other states in the Union, at this point in time at least, say no, that is not a valid marriage. And so because that legal enactment in Massachusetts is against the clear stated public policy of other states, then that is one of those exceptions to the full faith and credit. Now, those other states are in a bit of a quandary if they do not have something extremely clear in their statutes that says marriage is only between one man and one woman. They need to have something, actually, it's best for them to have that even in their state constitution that declares marriage is only between one man and one woman. So that if there is a legal attempt by a couple getting, whatever you want to call them, two people of the same sex getting married in Massachusetts coming to, you know, the state of Nevada or whatever and saying our marriage is legal here, and that state needs to have the highest level of protection against that, that would state that the public policy of, say, Nevada or any other state does not permit same-sex marriage. course, there's some other ways that this idea of full faith and credit is carried out between the states. And by the way, the reason this was so important is we need to remember the history of what took place between the Declaration, the signing of the Declaration, and the signing and ratification of the Constitution. During those years, our federal government was under the Articles of Confederation, a system by which the states interacted with one another in, as our founders discovered, a very unsatisfactory fashion, which is what they called the Constitutional Convention in the first place. They recognized that many states would not recognize citizens of another state as having any legal rights when they crossed the border from one state to another. There was all kinds of difficulties developing simply because it was not clearly spelled out, as they did here in Article 4 of the Constitution, not clearly spelled out what the relationships between the states were to be. Well, Section 2 of Article 4 deals with the Privileges and Immunities Clauses, and that is, a state may not limit rights or privileges to state residents only. They must grant the same privileges to non-residents who are citizens of another state. Oh, for example, say you travel from here to Maryland to, from Maryland, say, to West Virginia, and you decide you're going to go hunting in the fall. Well, the state of West Virginia has to grant you the privilege of obtaining a hunting license in that state, just as they would grant a privilege to their own citizens to obtain a hunting license. However, the state may charge a higher rate for non-residents, recognizing that the non-resident isn't paying taxes in the state, and therefore the non-resident needs to contribute, you know, proportionally more to make it just and fair. Of course, the same principle would apply to attending state universities. A resident of the state, a citizen of the state, would receive a lower tuition than a non-resident simply because that resident has, or their parents have been, paying taxes and so on that helps fund that education. So in the example of how states relate to one another, if it's a privilege granted to the citizens of one state, another citizen from another state coming into that state must have the same privileges, even if that means they may pay a little more for having that same privilege. Under Section 2 is also, therefore, appropriately, the immunity clauses that say the governor of Virginia requests the governor of New York to extradite a fugitive from the law in Virginia. They committed a crime in Virginia, they flew, and the governor of New York must extradition request from the governor of Virginia. So unless that criminal is wanted for a crime in New York, where, you know, New York might try him first and then send him to Virginia for a trial, unless he's being tried in New York for a crime, he is to be extradited to the state of Virginia. But since the governor, and here's where the exception would qualify, and since the governor is responsible for the safety and well-being of all persons within the state, he may refuse an extradition if he believes that fugitive will not receive a fair and humane treatment in the state that's requesting his extradition. An interesting example that took place a number of years ago in South Dakota, there was a crime committed by an Indian uprising and a murder, actually, and that one fled to California, actually. I believe Governor Brown was governor at the time, and when the governor of South Dakota demanded his extradition, he refused, and he refused on the grounds that this man would not receive what he considered a just trial, and that being that in South Dakota, the death penalty would be a possible outcome of that trial, a possible sentence for that individual having committed murder. And California considered the death penalty at that time, at least considered the death penalty, a cruel and unusual punishment. So Governor Brown said, no, I'm not going to extradite this criminal to South Dakota. Well, it was interesting that Governor of South Dakota fought back in a very humorous way. He released some people from prison, and the terms of their release was that they must establish residency in California.
So whatever happened to that case?
I don't remember the details, but I do remember reading about it. It was very humorous because he was saying, okay, you like to have criminals in your state running around on the streets, and you don't want to punish those who are committing murder, fine, I'll give you a bunch of criminals. Here you go.
Well, of course, Governor Brown is now running for attorney general here in the state of California. And Governor Brown was one of the few people who opposed the death penalty, and he packed the Supreme Court with Rose Byrd and a number of other corrupt left-wing judges who didn't like the death penalty. And it really took a referendum on the part of the people to basically, we didn't recall the judges. Simply when they came up for vote, they were voted out of office, and that's how we got the death penalty here in California. The majority of people supported the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
It was simply that Governor Brown had his own agenda, and now he wants to be, 20 years later, he wants to become the attorney general. Let's hope that he loses.
Yes, because that kind of law enforcement is not the law enforcement that any state needs.
Right.
But that's an illustration of how there is exception to the extraditions that can be proposed, at least. But other than those very, very minor exceptions, and again, we don't believe Governor Brown was correct in creating an exception there. There must be some examples. I can't think of any currently in the country today where, you know, the laws of one state would really create an injustice on the part of a person being extradited to stand trial in that state. But if those are the general principles, every citizen has the same privileges and immunities in a state of which they're not a resident as if they were a resident. And extradition for those who have committed crimes is to be complied with unless there's some very extraordinary exceptions. And in talking about this, it's kind of unusual for us to even think of these categories because generally we think of ourselves as citizens of the United States, capital U and so on. But that was not how our founders and the people of that era thought of themselves. They were citizens of the particular state in which they were residents, citizens of Maryland, citizens of California, citizens of Virginia, what have you. And that actually, up to the time of the war between the states, was everyone's attitude. General Lee refused to accept the commission to lead the Union troops against what he said was his nation. And he was not referring to all the southern states. He was referring to the state of Virginia as his nation, as his country.
And, you know, that was really, people have forgotten that the United States senators were never to have been elected by the people. They were to represent the states. And that's why they, people who wanted the dictatorship in America, got the 17th Amendment through, not so you would have, you know, universal election of senators, they'd be elected by the people. It was in this pursuance of this idea of democracy, because the founding, the people who were doing this knew that democracies always end up in dictatorship. That's
mm-hmm.
exactly what Alexander Tyler had said at the time of the writing of our Constitution. That's what Plato had written, you know, 2,400 years ago, that democracies always descend into despotism. And that is why, back during the era of Woodrow Wilson, back in 1913, Colonel House, who really was Wilson's right-hand man, did everything he could to get the 17th Amendment through. So no longer would the senators represent the states, which were to be sovereign. They were to represent the people, which really represented, meant that they would be represent the people of great wealth who would buy and sell the senators. We've got the finest senators in Washington, D.C. today that money can buy.
And so it's a different world for us to try to think of how our founders, but we need to think that way, that I'm a citizen of Maryland first and only secondarily a citizen of these, plural, United States. And I like to use a small u there because the focus is on the states, sovereign states coming together in a union by choice, not by force, and so on. But so the privileges and immunities and the extraditions all were to address the issue. Unsovereign state not honoring the laws or the citizenship of other sovereign states. For example, one would be that fugitive slaves during the era leading up to the war between the states, fugitive slaves did not simply become free by moving to a free state. That is, the law still applied to them, even though they were no longer in the state from which they had left. And so state requesting that slave be returned to his master, legally they had a ground to do that because states were to respect each other's public policies was the principle upon which this was founded. And we really, as you say, we need to return to the sovereignty of the states in order to secure and to maintain our liberties as citizens. And one of the things we ought to fight for, as you say, is the repeal of the 17th Amendment, one of the worst things that happened in the history of our nation, because it weakened enormously the power that the states had to restrict the power and growth of the federal government. Well, Section 3 of Article 4 deals with how new states were going to be admitted to the Union, and the founders, right from the get-go, understood that the 13 states would probably not be the full extent of the number of states that ultimately came into the Union, and so they wisely provided for admission of new states in Article 4, Section 3.
We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney here at the American Freedom Network.
Both new and used guns, handling all major brands with over 350 guns in inventories. We'll take your guns in on trade or purchase them outright. Come in, see us first. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry Street in Fort Collins. We're also the largest gun safe dealer in the region. We carry a full line of Security National and Liberty safes for your home, office, cabin, or RV use. Whatever your needs, we have the unit for you. Located 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry Street. Come see us at Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply.
16 of 16 terminally ill cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
They fight for freedom and justice, battling the most notorious evil villains the world has ever known.
My baby! Save him!
From far-off galaxies to the depths of the Earth, they face unspeakable foes that no one else dare. Banded together under one name, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Green Lantern are the Justice League to help launch the 45th anniversary celebration of Six Flags, the biggest and best year that Six Flags has ever had. Don't miss the Island Kingdom Water Park with more than 11 great wet and wild rides and attractions, the new Daily Bugs Bunny Parade Spectacular, the all-new Carnival de Fuego Fireworks Show, and the amazing Acrobats of China. With all these amazing shows and rides, a trip to Six Flags Elitch Gardens is the most out of this universe fun your family can get in one non-stop action-packed day. Plus, meet and thank all of your favorite members of the Justice League for ridding the world of evildoers.
Curse you, Justice League!
Get your discount tickets at SixFlags.com. Six Flags Elitch Gardens. More than a theme park, it's an experience.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
Here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And at this point in the program, I want to tell our listeners how they can get hold of the Institute of the Constitution, because they must. They must get the information that they have. They must begin putting on programs, first of all, to educate themselves and then their friends and then everyone in this country about this wonderful Constitution that we have. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, certainly the Bill of Rights, and the Federalist Papers are the foundation of our nation. And if we don't understand our form of government, how can we possibly hope to keep it? And if we lose our form of government, then freedom as we know it will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. Go ahead, David. Would you tell our listeners how to get hold of the Institute of the Constitution and how they can begin to set up institutes in their own community to begin to educate people about what America's all about?
Yes, and most people are a little intimidated when you talk about, oh, you're going to teach other people the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration. Well, you don't actually have to teach this. You're actually hosting a class. Dr. John Eismo in 12 half-hour lectures is a thorough background of the Christian history and foundation, philosophy of government, and then a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the material we're walking through here in this program. It's all done on video lecture, on DVDs. We provide a student notebook that gives each student a detailed outline of that lecture so they can add their own notes, and there's test questions. It's a complete package, a complete kit, and we give a host manual that enables the host to easily step through the process of conducting a class. Anyone can do this. They don't need any law background. It's better that they don't have any, and they don't need to be an expert historian. Any person can do this, and this is very simple. And so they can either call us toll-free or go to our website. Our website is IOTConline.com. That stands for Institute on the Constitution, IOTConline.com. Or if they want to, they can call us toll-free and order our host kit. And the toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. And we're encouraged, Dr. Stan, as we see people across the country, people in churches doing this as a class midweek, or some are doing it as a Sunday morning class. Churches doing it. We have people in community centers. There's a whole group of people running for office in the state of Utah that they've made a commitment. As they run for office, they're going to conduct and host an institute on the Constitution so that they can educate the people they're seeking to represent with the very details of what they're representing, which is an excellent idea. That if people running for office were to teach people what the true terms of our Constitution was, it would be a no-brainer for people to say, I'll vote for you. You understand the Constitution. You're committed to implementing this Constitution, and you've shown us in this class how the people who are currently representing us in Washington don't understand the Constitution, or if they do, they have willfully chosen to violate the terms of our Constitution. And my friends, that should concern us all greatly, that more than 90% of the legislation that passes every day down in Washington, D.C. is a direct violation of the terms of the Constitution. That means we have a bunch of lawbreakers running the government in Washington, D.C., willfully getting away with breaking the law. Because why? Well, we, the people, don't know the law that we're supposed to keep them accountable to. And that's why we encourage you, all of your listeners, to get a host kit and begin doing this with a group of friends, family, with your church, ideally, with a community group. Many community groups, civic groups, and so forth have a commitment to some sort of citizenship aspect of their work, Lions Club and Kiwanis and so forth. So many of those groups will be an open opportunity for you to go and say, hey, I have a way to help you fulfill this citizenship commitment that you have as a civic organization to teach your members what our founding fathers said. Well, when we go back to what we were just talking about, the Article 4 of the Constitution, Section 3 of Article 4 deals with the admission of new states into this union, and the restrictions on those admission is, first, no state may be formed entirely within the boundaries of another state, and no state may be formed from territory of another state without, of course, that state's legislature's permission and the permission of Congress. And there's an interesting lesson in history where this took place, and of course there's a debate whether it rightly took place with the formation of this new state or wrongly took place, and that is the case of West Virginia. See, West Virginia was really part of the state of Virginia up until the war between the states. When the war between the states took place, there was a legislative body that met, but it's doubtful that you could say it was truly representative of the legislature of the state of Virginia. It was more a legislative, a minority legislative position that said, we don't want any part of secession from the Union, and therefore we are opposing what is being voted on down there in Richmond, and so West Virginia was formed entirely within the borders of another state. That is the state of Virginia, and it's debatable as to whether it was properly done. But there's an example in history of how this principle should have applied in that case. Of course, there's a debate, well, if Virginia seceded, then I guess you'd say West Virginia was also seceding, but seceding from Virginia. So, you know, there's a bit of confusion there, but you can see the problem that could easily occur if states were permitted to secede. I know, for example, in our state, there's a huge divide between the center of our state, politically speaking, from Baltimore to Washington, extremely liberal, and the entire rest of the state. And I know that people over on the Eastern Shore would love to secede from the state of Maryland because they hate the politics, they hate the taxes, and all the other things that the central government of Maryland is imposing on them. But the Constitution does not permit that to take place. That is, at least it doesn't permit it to take place unless the legislature of that state were to permit such a secession and formation of a new state in the Union. Then, secondly, there in Section 3, Congress is the one that makes the rules for the admission of these new states. And Congress would normally pass what's called an Enabling Act, authorizing the creation of a territory. And by the way, Congress oversees that territory, in a sense Congress is the governing body of that territory, until that territory becomes a state. And once they pass this Enabling Act, they authorize that territory to hold a constitutional convention. And they will specify in that Enabling Act certain provisions that the state constitution must contain for that territory to become a state. And we'll look in a moment at one of the most important aspects of what those new states are required to include in their constitution. Then the next process is, of course, the territory holds a constitutional convention. They adopt the constitution, and that constitution is then sent to Congress for approval of their proposed state constitution. Now, Congress has authority to govern those territories and other federal properties only until those territories become a state. When they become a state, then Congress no longer has governing capacity over those states. But we, of course, know, as we've discussed before, that Congress is well outside its boundaries and the federal government well outside its boundaries in regulating states, in controlling states. And basically, states today, instead of being sovereign, independent entities that have come together in a union to form our country, states are mere subdivisions of the federal government in many respects. And this is not the design of our founders. Their design was that the states would be independent, sovereign, and would serve as a check upon the powers of the federal government.
We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
With so much concern over the world economy, rising interest rates, and skyrocketing oil prices, and a more than 50-50 chance that the entire electronic infrastructure may collapse globally, how come not one so-called expert is advising Americans to buy gold? Could it be that they're not telling us everything? Gold and silver will retain value when everything else fails. Don't get caught when they can't find your IRA or 401k. Call the Patriot Trading Group. We don't offer free reports or newsletters. We don't take your phone number, and we don't play games. Just the finest product at the fairest prices and the fastest delivery in the entire industry. Call 1-800-951-0592. We've helped thousands of good people on the Colorado Front Range get prepared, and we can help you too. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 for price quotes or information. And remember, I'm right behind you. That way when we turn around and run, I'll be in front.
Well, I just stand back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney. And certainly the most important thing for people to understand is that at one time the power of the central government was to be limited. That is how we had freedom. The central government couldn't regulate, control us, couldn't provide for us. But you see, there have always been those who wanted to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. That's what it's always been about. Much easier to control one centralized government than 50 sovereign states. I mean, it's a lot more expensive to buy all of the politicians in all of those 50 states, or a majority of them, than to simply buy the politicians in Washington, D.C., where you have a federal police force. Now, we were never to have a federal police force. Oh, but we were told we needed the FBI, we had to go after the prohibitioners, we had to go after the mafia. And the trouble is, they didn't go after the mafia for so many years. They did not do the things that they should be doing. And now, of course, the FBI is used to set up sting operations to get anybody they want to. And yes, sometimes the people that they get are basically dishonest, people taking bribes. So you really don't know who you can trust today. The guy who may be your best friend, who's befriended you for years, could be an undercover FBI agent, actually setting you up, as they did with Randy Weaver, as they did with John DeLorean. This is the standard operating procedure. In fact, most of the Islamic terrorists, the so-called terrorists we've caught here in the United States, had the whole, whether it would be blowing up the Sears Tower or blowing up the Holland Tunnel, all of these were ideas that were planted in the minds of some foolish Muslims by FBI sting operations, or FBI informants. The whole Muslim operation in the United States is thoroughly infiltrated by the FBI, who is suggesting that they do carry out these crimes, and then they expose them, and they say, see, we've got a great threat of terrorism here. We've got to give more power to the central government. Why haven't we had any major terrorist attacks in the United States, since 9/11? Is it because there is no Islamic terrorist movement, because the FBI has been doing such a good job? Well, I'd like to suggest that maybe a lot of this terrorist movement is being created as a justification to centralize ever more power in Washington, D.C. Because if there are really all these al-Qaeda terrorists out there, they should have been able at least to disrail a couple of trains or do something. But, well, pick up the story there, David. As we move away from freedom towards fascism, and people don't even understand what we're losing because they no longer understand these concepts of freedom laid out in these wonderful documents you talk about.
That's right, and Article 4, Section 4, a very important part of the Constitution, it says that every state must have a republican form of government. And you referred earlier to the fact that we're not a democracy, and democracies are a step or a road to ultimate dictatorship and tyranny, not to to freedom. And one of the things that every state that comes into the Union must have as part of their constitution is that they are establishing a republican form of government. That's small r republican, not the Republican Party. What does it mean? A republic is a representative form of government, in contrast with a democracy where the people are voting directly on pieces of legislation and so on. A republic, you elect representatives to represent you in terms of making legislation and leading the government.
But they're also still under law, and a lot of things that the representatives can't do, because, you can't do whatever you want to. You have to be people who follow the law of the land. And that's why the people in Washington, D.C. keep passing pieces of legislation that are totally unconstitutional, and that is happening at the state level as well. But every state is a republic, not a democracy.
And as you say, a republic is a
form of government of law, not of men, under law. Every man is under the law. No one is free from the law, in contrast with a democracy, that you don't have a fixed standard of law in a democracy. 51% of the people can vote to change the law. Well, in a republic, particularly our constitutional republic, the laws of nature and nature's God are the absolute, unchanging standard. They are the supreme law of the universe, to which every piece of legislation must abide by, or else it's an invalid piece of legislation. So in our Christian constitutional republic, which is really what our founders established, the law of God, given to us in his word, God's law is supreme, and God's law is the ruling standard by which every law is measured to determine whether it is truly law or just ink spilled on a piece of paper that is meaningless and needs to be sent through the shredder, which, by the way, 90%+ of the pieces of legislation coming out of Washington, D.C., and a lot of legislation coming out of the state capitals ought to all be sent to the shredder because it is illegal. It's not law at all. It's only the color of law being treated as law when, in fact, it violates the supreme law of the universe, God's law, or the supreme law of the land, which is the U.S. Constitution and then the subsequent 50 state constitutions. So before a state is admitted to the Union, Congress has to make sure that state has a Republican constitution, a Republican form of government, a government by elected representatives, a government where there is fixed absolute law, and a government that has separate branches, at least three separate branches of government, a government that is limited by a Bill of Rights. For example, our state constitution here in Maryland, it starts with the Bill of Rights, 47 Declaration of Rights, before it actually goes into the executive, legislative, and judicial branches and the details of the Constitution. And the United States government also protects states against threats to Republican government. And those are twofold, and we've talked about those already previously. There's two threats. One is foreign invasion. That is, you have war come to your shores and to your borders. We have a foreign invasion on the southern border of our country, but our federal government is refusing to treat it as it should be treated, as indeed an invasion. What it is, a foreign invasion. That's one threat to Republican government that we're to be secured against by the federal government. The federal government's failing to do their job there. The second is domestic insurrection, but also we could say domestic subversion of our form of government, which is exactly what's happening with 90%+ of the politicians. They are subverting our Republican form of government, subverting the rule of law, subverting God's law, which is the supreme law of the land, subverting the U.S. Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. And so we have, you could really say, those seeking to destroy our form of government. May not want to call them terrorists, but they are domestically destroying, by political means, what God, through our founders, created.
God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Dr. Bye-bye. Stan.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support, doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman. Not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Well, I'll just stand back here at the American Freedom Network. I recently received a card in the mail that said basically this. Planet Earth is in a sad and perilous condition, which each day brings it nearer to the critical. Even the most dire prophecy falls short of the calamity facing the world today. Humanity must awaken to the urgent threat posed by global warming, toxic pollution, and nuclear power and restore the planet to health. Fortunately, humanity is not alone in this effort. British author Benjamin Creme offers extraordinary information. A group of enlightened teachers known as the Masters of Wisdom are emerging from their ancient retreats into our everyday world for the first time in many centuries. These teachers, led by Maitreya, the world teacher, have come to show us the way out of our present crisis and inspire the rebuilding of our world based upon sharing, justice, and global cooperation. It was basically an advertisement for a talk that Benjamin Creme is going to be giving in San Francisco in August. And you must understand that as crazy as this sounds, I mean, ancients of wisdom coming forward, world teachers, emerging from the ancient retreats, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there are millions of people who believe this. We call them the New Age. They're throughout the world, and they're looking for this wonderful utopia that lies ahead. And unfortunately, there are many people who are disciples of the ancients of wisdom working here at the highest levels of our government. There is another dimension. There's a spiritual dimension, and these ancients of wisdom in Maitreya, and these other are truly demonic spirits moving us towards world government. And what most people who talk about this really have missed is the fact that there is another dimension. You need to get our 3-pamphlet set called The Occult Hierarchy. It's only $9.95 plus shipping, but you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. The book that changed my life many years ago, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, inexpensive little book by Constance Cumby, but it will introduce you to what this is all about and how this ties into Masonry, which is a modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions. Now, how this ties into certainly Theosophy and Rosicrucianism and the foundations of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission, and the Club of Rome, and the Skull and Bones of the Bohemian Grove, and down to the whole panorama of what's going on today. There really are organizations founded in the occult that are guiding American policy. You need to get our four tapes set on the supernatural, and the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, written by a medium, Johanna Michelson, who's a favorite guest of ours, and Johanna talks about her experience in contact with the other dimension. I mean, why are we in Iraq? I mean, if you look at it logically, Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, nobody wanted to go to war in the Middle East, at least not until 9/11, when the wicked Osama bin Laden launched the hijackers' attack on the United States, and the Twin Towers came down, and Building 7 came down, and the Pentagon was attacked. But now we've recently, closed the office trying to get Osama bin Laden. He's no longer really important. Or maybe he never was important. Maybe everything has been staged to take us into a war in the Middle East preparatory to the Third World War, which has always been planned by those within the occult to bring us about the New World Order. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Get our 4 tapes set on the supernatural, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, my 3 pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. They'll change your life. There's reason for the darkness. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com.
This is Michael Golden, and I'm pleased to announce the release of my new CD, Mikamot HaKodeshim, Holy Places. Holy Places is a collection of some of my favorite praise and worship songs. It's available now at the American Freedom Network for only $15 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 to order your copy of Holy Places.